If you love an Aussie underdog who punches above, look no further than Bluebet, the true blue Aussie bookie. Download the Bluebet app today and bet Australian. Conditions apply. Gamble responsibly. The Rush Hour. Gus Warland, Jude Bolton and Wendell Saylor. This is the Triple M Rush Hour. Rush Hour.
Welcome to the Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Wendell. Jude is back on Monday. Candace Warner still with us. And thank God your husband got some runs last night. Well played, David.
Yeah, absolutely. Well played, Australia, for winning. But, yeah, I'm out of a job after today.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, I'll be on the Dead Set Legends tomorrow morning.
Oh, you there
will.
You go.
Yeah. You will. But it was really good. It's been great having you on. I've got a massive show that you're going to be a big part of today. G'day, Del.
How you going, mate? All right?
How you doing?
Yeah, I love Fridays, mate. You guys have been great for the week. Candace has been next level. A bit different to Jude, actually, but it's been good.
Oh, never sounded better. They're the things we love. What about the things we hate? This is making a comeback. Can you believe it? Everybody. Can you believe it? It was only a few months ago that it's all teared up, had the reunion, blah, blah, blah. Well, they are now bringing it back. Channel 10 and Amazon have picked up the show just months after the farewell special.
I think it's a huge mistake. I think the Neighbours... Yeah, absolutely. I think the Neighbours boat has definitely... It's shipped and it's out.
It's sailed. They need to go. They need to stay away. I don't want them back. And the only good thing about Neighbours back in the day was when I met Margot Robbie. She's kicked on since then.
Yeah.
That's what I've loved
would
about
that. Would
you say
that Margot's kicked on more than you, or is it like, you know, where would it
I
be?
I think we're both equal, actually.
Wow. Well, I remember this scene from Neighbours with our very own Jude Bolton.
So do you follow the game at all, Dick?
I'd have to say it's a newfound interest. I'm not exactly fanatical.
Oh, we can fix that. How about I get a few tickets this weekend's game and we go for drinks afterwards?
Hey, that'd be great. My boyfriend would love it. Well, that's you done.
Besides his voice, not much has changed because he still doesn't wear a shirt.
Yeah. He does, especially on this last week's tour in the US. And something else that we hate is coming back. More mosquitoes now than ever because of the floods, and they are twice as big as normal.
They're like a 20-cent piece size. They're huge.
They really are. And one was buzzing at my ear last night, and then Vix and I get up, turn the light on, and they vanish.
Yep.
Where do they go? Where do mosquito go?
You know how they buzz around your ear and that? That's a bit like what you do to me sometimes. So.
Do you think they like your skin more than others because you're a bit sweeter?
Yeah, they do like mine. They do. They always go for the sexual chocolate.
Oh my goodness. Time now to talk some basketball.
Our next guest, an Australian basketballing legend, has recently gone back to uni to do a few courses. Obstacle courses as he trains the Sydney Uni Flames basketball team. And right now, we're really in the mood to talk about the NBL season. So please welcome WNBL Sydney Uni Flames head coach, Shane Heal.
Yeah, and a Kings legend. Hammer, how are you, mate?
Yeah, very good, gang. Thanks for having me on.
Mate, it's a pleasure. Isaac Humphries, brilliant the last couple of days. If people don't know, this is what he said.
You can be whatever you want, no matter who you are or what you do. You can be big ice and be gay, and you can still be a great basketball player and be gay. You can do whatever you want. It has nothing to do with your sexuality or who you are or who you're meant to be or who you're expected to be. I just want to be myself. I've discovered this is my purpose in life, and I'm gonna give it my best go.
Yeah, and as Ian Roberts said, he's already saving lives just by being that vulnerable and being that honest. You must have been proud as a basketball man to hear that from Isaac.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's amazing to me that it's courageous to do that in 2022. You know, you think we've come further.
Yeah.
But, you know, congratulations to him and leading the way. And, you know, it's fantastic that somebody in basketball, you know, is doing that. And as Ian Robb said, it's definitely going to change lives. And, you know, I know his family and his dad and messaged him and I think everyone's just as proud of him.
He played last night. How was he perceived?
Well, I think it's been unanimous all around the world. He's received messages from the NBA and some of the most powerful people in basketball around the world to EuroLeague teams and everybody's embraced him. You know, and I think when that happens, it does send such a positive message to other people out there that are going through similar sort of things to feel that they will be embraced as well. So, you know, it's a real positive thing for everybody.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. But, like, you know, you came through my era and you came through the Ian Roberts era and Ian Roberts came out and spoke. Mate, we shouldn't have this conversation. It shouldn't be such a big thing. It should be like anything that we go through in life. But I think, you know, it's brave. But, like, at the end of the day, people have just got to accept it's 2022. We got to love everyone, and everyone's got different sort of loves and what it is.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, the way we grew up, things were different, and the way we're educated and things were different as well. And as people like both Ian and Isaac, that can make a change. You think we would be further along, but we're not. And, you know, hopefully it's just a positive for everybody. And, you know, it's a big thing for him and basketball. It's amazing that nobody in basketball has come out to be able to do that and to be themselves and be comfortable in who they are. So well done to him, and, you know, hopefully we see more people being themselves.
Shane, the Kings are taking on the Hawks on Sunday. So that's the top of the ladder versus the absolute bottom of the ladder. How do you see this one playing out?
Well, I see it being a bloodbath. And, you know, our man Dell, he'll be sooking it up this season with the way the Hawks are going down there. I've told him a while ago, just jump on, brother, because the Kings have got another championship coming. They're in good form. But there seems like there's a little bit of turmoil down there in Wollongong as well. You know, with King, their import, a lot of rumblings there, a few injuries as well. They have to find a way to be able to turn it around. But the Kings are without Xavier Cooks, their best player as well. So that makes them a little bit vulnerable, but they've got a whole lot more depth than Sydney Kings.
Oh, that's right. He came through the Hawks system, didn't he? So that you guys poached him, didn't you?
Yes, that's exactly right. And what happened is he got smart and he goes, yeah, I'll leave this stuff behind and I'm going to go win myself a championship. And that's exactly what he did last year.
Shane the Hammer Hill, thanks so much, mate, to talk on and off the court with us. Very, very important week for basketball. And it's always a pleasure to talk to you, mate. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. Appreciate it, guys.
Shane the Hammer Hill there, Kings legend, Australian basketball legend. Who's the fussy eater? And I'm looking at you, Candace Warner, one of your kids?
Yes. My three-year-old daughter really drives me crazy every single morning at around 7 a.m. Now, you would think that breakfast would be the easy meal of the day. No cooking required. All you do is get a bowl, pour some cereal in, and happy days. Well, that isn't the case in my family. Every morning she wakes up and says, oh, what would you like for breakfast? Sultana bran.
Oh, that's good.
You
beautiful. Healthy.
Yep,
awesome.
You beauty. So I go into the cupboard, get the sultana bran out, and as I'm pouring it, she's like, no sultanas. So what I do now, which I've given in to her, yes, bad parent, I pour,
can't win them all.
I take every single sultana out, and she will then eat her breakfast. So
can't you just go for the all bran or bran flakes or something, which don't have the sultanas?
I've thought about doing that, but I feel like the sultanas give the flakes a bit of a, even though they're not in the bowl, they probably has a sultanery taste.
Coating,
it's just the texture. So it is very annoying.
I bet it is.
So look, I've only got myself to blame because I've given in to her, but quite the punish.
What about you, Del? Are you a fussy eater? not by the looks of
it. Have a look at me. Oh, yeah, anything, mate. I love my food.
Yeah.
No, not real fussy. But the thing is, just different toppings. Like, I don't like avocado. I'm a bit weird. There's certain things I don't like avocado.
I didn't like avocado until I got a bit older. Like 18, 19, my taste buds matured a little bit, and now I love my avocado.
No.
I tell you what makes me go, is when I order a poached egg. And it doesn't come medium. Like, it's not quite cooked properly, and it's all gooey.
Yeah,
and like
I get that.
I cannot
My
eat.
Mate Wombat, he has well-done eggs, and if there's even a little bit of yolk,
so I don't mind a little bit of yolk. You know when it's that clear, gluggy?
Yeah, it's like I haven't even had a go.
Texture.
That's right. You want them, sunny side up or, flipping. But it's funny. Eggs,
over easy?
Yeah, that's right. Eggs for me was something I didn't really start having until I was like 17, 18. Like,
really?
Yeah, just when I was younger.
So were you just naturally a beast?
Yeah.
You didn't need to have the protein and all that sort of jazz.
Genetics, mate. 6'3" black man, like, it was just the way it is. So sorry.
Magnificent.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, God. Give us a call on 1-333-53. Who's the fussy eater? Aaron. G'day, Aaron.
Hey, how you going, everyone?
Yeah, good. Thanks, mate. Is it you or someone you know?
It's my cousin.
Okay, tell us the story.
My cousin, I should say. Mm-hmm. So from 3 years of age till about 7 or 8, I think she was. All she ate was brown bread. No butter, no nothing.
Oh, brown bread was the only thing she ate. Why?
Brown bread.
Why?
We don't know. It was the only thing that she liked to eat.
That's the worst bread.
No, you're right. It's multigrain's better than that,
Is it? I thought white bread was the worst bread.
I mean, it's not the
kid,
fun bread.
As a kid to eat, yeah.
Thanks a lot, Aaron. Appreciate it.
Emily, what about
how
you?
How you do?
Yeah. Who's the fussy one in your family?
Oh, my brother. He's 4 years older than me. And for the first 17 years of my life, our family meals were dictated by him.
Oh, dear.
He would not eat anything unless it was Vegemite cheese on toast. he wouldn't eat any sauces. The only sauce he would eat was in spaghetti bolognese.
Oh, yes.
When he did eat spaghetti bolognese, he'd use a Kraft single instead of Parmesan.
what?
Yeah, he's 35 now and he's still the same.
Oh, Emily, thank you very, very much.
Lisa, who's the fussy eater and what's your story?
Hello, Lisa.
Hi. Yeah, hi, everyone. Happy Friday. So My story is about my son that when he was a toddler, you could count on one hand what he ate. So one day we had Jack-o-bit. We put a teaspoon of peas in front of him and gave him a $100 note and said, eat the peas, mate. You can have the $100 note. He walked off. The following week we put a grape on the table and said, mate, if you eat that grape, we will go straight from here and buy you a motorbike. He walked off. So we sent him to bed hungry, and he snuck downstairs the next morning, ate the whole jar of his kids' multivitamins, and vomited fluoro pink all over the carpet.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Lisa.
That's so good.
Andrew, who's the fussy eater? Is it you or a mate?
My son, my oldest son, when he first went on to solids, he wouldn't eat anything other than sweet potato and carrots.
Oh, he liked
just
the orange.
Them all up and he just wouldn't eat anything else. So after a couple of weeks or a couple of months of this, he started to, like, we're just talking for a normal checkup, but we noticed his skin started to change colour. And the paediatrician looked at us and he said, what have you been feeding him? He said, the carrots and the sweet potato. And he said, well, he's actually turning orange because the colour of the sweet potato and the carrots is changing the pigment of his skin.
Oh.
So he's starting to look like an Oompa Loompa.
Oh, yeah. He's just like Donald Trump's kid, yeah.
Thanks a lot, Andrew, and all the calls we couldn't get to. Time now to talk to this man.
Our next guest is the champ. He's the current UFC featherweight champion with a fight record of 23 wins and one loss. Please welcome back to the Rush Hour Octagon, Alex Volkanovski.
He is the champion of the world, and we've got him on the line yet again. Alex, how are you, brother?
I'm very good, mate. Very good. How are you guys?
Mate, we are fantastic. It's always great to talk to you, and you've got quite a battle ahead, mate. You love to get in that octagon, and you don't like to sit back and wait, do you? You just want to get in there and fight, fight, fight. How much are you looking forward to it?
Oh, mate, I'm fired up. As you just said, I just want to be active. I want to get in there, but not just that. I want to fight the best. I want challengers. I want the guys that, you know, the unstoppable. You know, the fights that people think, you know, the unthinkable fights that you want, these are the ones I want. You know, this is a big task, a big challenge that I'm more than ready for, cannot wait to put on a show.
Yeah, I was going to ask that, Alex, like when Islam called you out, like, was there, you know, you just don't back away. Like, you could back away quite easily and just, but you just went, yep, well, let's do this. Let's do it.
Nah, mate, yeah, I was never backing away. This is a big opportunity for me, mate. You know what I mean? I'm going to take it. Like, I'm in my prime right now. That's why I want to be active. I want to take advantage of where I'm at right now, and fighting someone like Islam, you know, is going to be incredible. Like I said, this is a big fight, big challenge, but it ain't a challenge that can't be done. I guarantee you I'm going to go out there and I'm putting work in. I plan on getting my hand raised.
You're an ex-concreter from Wollongong, and now you're one of the best mixed martial artists of all time. Can you tell us a little bit about your road and how you got to where you have? Like, do you think your work back then has helped you become a better fighter and a more disciplined fighter?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Even from where I still live there today, like, you know, being from, you know, blue-collar town and, you know, being playing rugby league, my family, all these experiences growing up has definitely made me the guy I am today. You know what I mean? I still have that sort of same mentality, you know what I mean? Like, well, the underdog mentality type thing. Like, it's just who I am, what I'm all about, and that's why I keep just doing what I need to do. No matter what challenge is in front of me, you're just going to just pull through and do what you got to do. So it's definitely made me strong and made me the man I am today, being from where I am and being raised by the family I was raised by and all that type of stuff. So all these experiences have definitely made me the guy you see conquering the UFC at the moment.
Yeah, Vox, I was going to say that the thing that you've got is balance, you know. You're a man's man, but also with your wife and kids, it's
family,
so good.
Yeah.
You got two daughters. How's that go for you, mate?
Yeah, good, good. You know, again, this is why I do it. You know, I want a legacy and all that type of stuff, but I do it so I can be successful for my family. Building on this legacy and being great and being one of the best, all that type of stuff isn't just for me. It's much bigger than that. It's, you know, I want a legacy for not just for me to live. I want my family to be able to live off my legacy forever, you know what I mean, and things like that. So I want to build a legacy that is undeniable, you know what I mean? Like, and that's why I want to take these fights, these massive fights that are going to put me and separate me from the rest and make me successful the rest of my life, so my family, I can look after them.
We're right behind you. We've got six daughters in this studio, mate, when we know what a handful they can be. So good luck with all of that, mate. It's always a pleasure talking to you, and you're going to make absolute history in Perth. UFC 284 at Perth's RAC Arena on February 12. We'll make sure we're right behind you, brother, and good luck in the training camps, and we'll be supporting you on the day. Thanks again.
No worries. Thank you, guys. The support's always been incredible, and I'm glad I get to do it here on home soil in front of Australia. Crowd, so can't wait.
Yeah, we've got some footy news here to talk through with Cooper Johns, Maddie's son. He's got a new contract.
Yeah, huge signing news for Manly, but it's on a train and trial deal. What do you make of this deal?
Yeah, I think it's good for Manly. And oh, look, Cooper Johns, I've got a massive rap on him, but he needs more first grade time. You know,
he played 11 games with the Storm.
That's right. And when he played, he did a good job. Remember, I think we talked about his debut against Parramatta. He did a good job going around. He hits pretty hard, and he does know the game, and he is a talent, but he needs more game time, you know, in the NRL. And, you know, he might get a chance, you know, next season, because you got Schuster there, who's been training really hard, didn't go to the World Cup. You know, he'll get probably first crack at that 5-8 position. Kieran Foran's moved on, obviously. Mm. And DCE's going to be there. So, you know, he's going to get a good opportunity there at Manly with that new wave of sort of coaching.
Can you tell me how the train and trial deal works? Because I hear about it so often, especially in the off-season, but I'm never really quite sure how it works.
I think they, whatever the term is, whether it's 3 or 4 months, they get paid $1,000 a week. And then whether it's a trial or those games, so they go back to their feeder clubs as well. So, you know, you could have a club back here in, New South Wales Cup or whatever it is, or up there in Queensland, like Tristan did with South Logan.
Mm.
And then I think young Branko Lee and those sort of blokes, you're allowed to go back to South Logan, but then once you get up to first grade...
And you're not on the cap at that stage either,
right.
But okay. Once the cap is settled, they know that number, that a real contract can come your way as well.
So is it basically the club saying, we're interested in you, we're just waiting for an opening.
Exactly right. He's going to be part of the 30-man squad, they're saying anyway.
That's right, so you've got to wait to see what frees up there, sort of money-wise and stuff.
Good on you, Coop. Yep. You're a good man. He'll bring a good character to Manly as well.
Yes.
What about this? The Rock urges Samoa to take World Cup fight to the Kangaroos in 5-minute video to the Samoan side on the eve of the Rugby League World Cup. The Rock said this.
I am delivering this message with boundless love and boundless reverence and respect and boundless pride for my boys, my Usos, the Toa Samoa rugby team. They are going to the men's final of the Rugby League World Cup. This is a big deal. They are making history in the world of sports, in the world of rugby. This is the first time that our island, our country, our culture of Samoa has ever gone to the finals.
He said he urges the underdogs to make history. Top of the Kangaroos, an Instagram post that has helped promote the game to a whole new audience. Hundreds of millions of people listen to The Rock, and it's nice to hear him do that.
Oh, mate, he's the biggest star that we've got in this world. And I think also that Samoan heritage and the Usos, you know, a lot of people, even that I talked to and see this week, I mean, I'm Australian, I want the Aussies to win. But it wouldn't be the worst thing for Samoa to win.
It was better than England winning, that's for sure.
I couldn't imagine you like The Rock, because if you were in the same room as The Rock, you wouldn't be the man anymore.
No, I don't mind. No, I love him. I love him.
He would out-alpha most people. Yeah. In fact, probably every person on the planet.
He wouldn't, mate. Me and him, it'd be good. I love you. I love you, Rock.
What about the Indigenous World Cup team? They're talking about that, Candice. They're saying, you know, Australia could have an Indigenous team and we could actually have that as close to next World Cup.
Yeah, it was actually Angus Crichton that came out and said the way that he sees it is that Indigenous Australia and white Australia, that there shouldn't be... you know, any divide, that they should be integrated. And I happen to agree, because if you're Australian, you're Australian. And I know that they're very proud of their Indigenous heritage, but, you know, we are one country.
It's a good talking point. And what a side. They put together a side just in case that team got picked. It would be incredibly strong.
It's a good talking point. But I'm with Candice and obviously you, Gussie. Like, we're Australian. I mean, you can be proud Indigenous culture. You've got the all-stars to do that. Mm. But we come under one flag and we represent, you know, this beautiful country that we live in.
The Rush Hours. Name that.
Drop!
Only the Goodwood Digby makes gins and single malt spirit from Australian hardwoods. Goodwood Digby is Australia distilled.
Yeah, thanks to Goodwood Digby Distillery. All week we gave you the opportunity to win a cube of single malt valued at $4,500, guys. We just needed you to come up with the name for it, and we've chosen our favourite name. So it's time now to call the winner.
Hello, Ryan speaking.
G'day, Ryan. Gus Warland, Wendell Saylor and Candice Warner from Triple M. How are you?
Not bad, mate. How you doing?
Mate, thanks, very mate. Well. Did you enter a competition here on Triple M?
Sure did.
What competition was that, mate?
That was the whiskey.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, what do you reckon, guys?
Thank you.
Candice, up to you.
Well, it was a unanimous decision. Ryan, you're the winner.
Oh, yes, yeah! Yes.
Righto!
Oh, you're beauty.
How you feeling, buddy?
Oh, I feel like I need a whiskey now, mate.
Yes, buddy.
Well, you got plenty of that. $4,500 worth. The Three Rusketeers was the winning beautiful name, and that is what it will be named, all thanks to our mates at Goodra Digby Distillery, mate. So enjoy that, and thanks so much for being a part of it. You feeling good?
Oh, look, it's the weekend. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. I think it's time for a whiskey now, isn't it?
It sure is, mate. Congratulations. Yeah. How'd you come up with the name?
Yeah.
Look, I love a good dad joke. Despite the fact I'm not a dad, I have a great dad bod, so I feel like I'm allowed to.
Yeah.
And look, I drink plenty of whiskey, and I feel like a good name has to have a good pun.
Yeah.
And beautiful. A bit of a story behind it, right?
You certainly did that. There's no doubt about it. It's fantastic, mate. So enjoy. We'll get that out to you. All thanks to our mates at Goodwood Digby. They're making gins and single malt spirit from Australian hardwoods. Goodwood Digby is Australia distilled. Our winner, Ryan, congratulations. Big fella.
Thank you very much. Yeah, guys, have a good one.
Cheers, good on mate. You, mate. It's Oz Music T-shirt day, guys, and we are talking now to Ella from Killing Heidi. So many hits. Let's hear another one. Oh, yeah. Ella, thanks so much for joining us. How are you today?
I'm good. It's my favourite day of the year. I call this Muso Christmas. Oh. This is the day we all look forward to, and, yeah, it's really important.
Ella, I love this. I love what it's about. As a musician and as an artist, what's one of the hardest things to do in your field?
Tour, really, yeah. Especially post-COVID. Touring is a nightmare. I don't want to complain, you know, but I'm currently on the road with my new solo stuff, and even I have had to cancel shows, and, you know, it's just people are very late in buying tickets and they're a bit scared to go out still, or, you know, can't go at the last minute. So the touring landscape for even an established artist like me is really hit and miss, and that is the only place we can actually sell our wares anymore, because God bless them, but streaming has let's put it this way, no one actually pays for listening to music anymore. Like, I don't, I stream everything, but that's an impossible working model for us musicians, because there's no money there. So when we get out there and tour, please come and see us.
Yeah.
Ella, talking about your solo tour, you'll be at Mary's Underground next Friday the 25th, and you also have a new album set to release next year.
Yes, and thank you for the shout out. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I actually wrote this one during COVID, and it's really personal, and it feels amazing to be releasing songs up it now. And yeah, I can't wait to get up in Sydney and play that show.
So during your tour, will you be singing that new song that you wrote, Achilles Heel?
Yes, absolutely. It's third song in the set.
Beautiful.
You look at your knowledge.
Oh,
you
wow,
are
sorry.
On point today,
you're
Candice.
Okay.
Can we
hear you? I'm impressed. Thank
yeah.
you for the research.
Now, Ella, we saw the Prime Minister of Australia is over there at these big sort of, you know, with all these other politicians and leaders of the world wearing his music T-shirt today. I mean, music T-shirts are cool, right? So any Friday, I reckon we should have these on. No matter what, you've got yours on, Candice.
I do.
Your Fleetwood Mac. What are you wearing today, Ella?
I'm actually wearing a band called Mr. Teenage. So just between you and me, it's their boyfriend's band. So it's a bit bit of nepotism going on there. But I did have my own one on earlier today. I was rocking my own merch because I really liked one of my
T-shirts that I've got is just a favorite T-shirt that I wear all the time. I've also got my one of my besties is a girl called Tanza. She's an incredible, like, queer disco operatic crazy artist, and she makes great T-shirts too. So I've always got one of those on as well.
Ella, look, I fell in love with music from a young age. You know, we all love our music, even around the sporting fields before. We all had to have our music. Like, for you, when did you know that music was going to be your love?
Oh, it was so early. It bit me very hard, very early. I think I would have been about 8, 9, 10 when I started becoming obsessed with Mum and Dad's record collection, and was busking by 11, writing songs by 12, and then unbelievably started Killing Heidi at 13. So I was in my first year of high school, and that band is the one that took me sort of all the way to here.
That's absolutely awesome, Ella. It's a real privilege to talk to you. To find out more and get involved in this year's campaign, visit ozmusictshirtday.org.au. We'll put all those stats and all those figures on the socials. You take care. Have a wonderful tour. We'll see you in Sydney.
Thanks, gang. Thanks for the support. Cheers.
No worries. Ella Hooper there. Fantastic. Time now to talk about the Rugby League World Cup final. We're going to preview that right now. It's the Kangaroos versus Samoa. I want to get your tip, want to get your margin, also want to get your man of the match as well, big fellas. Let's start the ball rolling. How are the Kangaroos going to do it if you think they're going to win it, Del?
Well, you know, you've got to win it through the forwards. So I think we all know what Samoa can do through their forward pack. They're powerful, they're skillful, but I just think not just the power, but also the patience and the execution of the Australian forwards. We'll get them home. We've got a lot of smart forwards there. You know, they can play fast, play slow. You know, Cam Murray, you've got Trbojevic. And also, you know, our spine. We've got a world-class spine there. I know Nathan Cleary has actually said, you know, he hasn't been able to get his rhythm, momentum. You know, obviously subbing in and out with Cherry Evans in the last, you know, he hasn't played many games with Munster. But big game players, big stage, so I can't wait to watch this game.
Del, do you think, are you slightly concerned that Samoa may have played their final last week? They were kind of the underdogs going into that game against England, considering they got absolutely thrashed in their first game against them. Do you think it may have taken a little bit out of them, and do you think we may see a different team face the Kangaroos?
Yeah, well, that's the concern for me is they put so much into beating England last week, and they played well. I'm not sure if they can back it up. We all know they're so talented, but it's that 80-minute game and that mental toughness. We know that Samoa fight in and out of games, but then I look at their squad. You know, you got Crichton, Luai's been so skillful. You know, Papali'i at the front, Junior Palo. They've got the players there, but I just don't know if they can execute for 80 minutes. And with Australia, I reckon they save their best to last. This will be Australia's best game because they got a fight last week. They nearly weren't there, and we know that. In New Zealand, they nearly had them.
Yeah, that's why I think this game might be, in the end, a bit of a blowout, but fantastic for Samoa to be a part of the final. You said it right from the start, big fella. You said you were going to get the 9 and the 14. Let's not worry about the numbers that they're actually given here. But in terms of Hunt coming off the bench, 14, you've got Harry Grant at 9, and you've got Munster and Cleary. You said that would be those four spots, and that's pretty much what's happened. They'll be better for the run last week and that shock, won't they?
Yeah, well, the last couple of years, you know, those players, there's no international games, but the last couple of Origin series, those players have been your star players. But even, like, if you look at that Samoan team, Suwali, he's a player. He's so talented. You talk about, you know, Joseph Manu obviously isn't there. You know, the Roosters, and then you got Tedesco. Mate, people take Teddy for granted, what he does. You know, he is Captain Courageous, but this has got everything in it. I just can't wait for this game. This is, mate, Samoa, this could be the biggest upset if they can do this. I'm not saying they can't do it, but I'm excited to watch this game anyway.
Me too.
All the Pacific nations, the people sitting at home, and this is what you want. No disrespect to England, but this is what I want to see, either Tonga or Samoa play Australia in the final.
Okay, so Del, who's your tip, by how much, and who's your man of the match?
I think Australia by 10. I'm going Munster, big game player. I know Cleary will play well, but I just think this Munster's had such a good year. Munster's ready to unleash here, because also Jerome Luai is a player for him. People have been talking about Jerome Luai. Munster will take that personally, saying, you know, hey, what about me? I know he's had 3 men of the matches, but this is what I do. Munster loves the big stage.
What about you, Candice? Who's your tip, the margin and man of the match?
I don't think it's going to be as close as what Del thinks. I think it may be a bit of a blowout. Yep. I think Australia will win by 24. And I was thinking who will be my man of the match. At first, I'm thinking Josh Adokar. He scored, I think, 12 tries this World Cup. But I'm thinking Cameron Murray.
Yep, that's
it. As if you wouldn't, mate.
He's been really good.
Why don't you pick Latrell as well and pick every Rabbitoh in the bloody
team? Okay, I'm going to go Latrell and Cam Murray.
I'm going to go Australia by 16. I've got Nathan Cleary to step up and go, I'm the best number seven in the world. Your chance to win a $100 DoorDash voucher being part of the Sports All-Rounder quiz. And Ken from Penrith. G'day, Ken. How are you, brother? You're up against me, the Savo.
Afternoon, fellas.
Afternoon,
hey, Ken.
Mate.
Oh, hey, Candice. She's not a fella.
Oh, sorry,
it's all good. It's all good.
Over to you, Candice. You are the hostess with the mostest. You do normally on a Saturday morning.
Yes, I do.
Here you go.
All right. So, Ken, you've got Wendell today as your lifeline, your phone-a-friend. You can use him once. If you get stuck for an answer, he will help you and bail you out. So, Gus, you're up first.
Okay.
What's the opening game of the 2022 FIFA World Cup?
We're about to speak to Richard Bayliss from SBS, so I did a little bit of research. Mm. It is the home nation, Qatar against Ecuador.
Oh, yes.
3 a.m.
Okay.
Monday morning.
I didn't ask you when the game's on, just the team. Yeah. Who's playing. All right.
So, I know how Davey feels now, that look.
All right, Ken. LIV Golf announced an Australian event in 2023. Which city will it be held?
Adelaide.
Oh, wow.
Good work, Ken.
Solid work, Ken.
Yeah.
Gus,
yeah, mate.
Who are the Wallabies playing this weekend?
The Wallabies playing the Irish.
Yeah.
Yes.
What time? Sunday, 7 a.m.
Yeah, good job, Wendell. Okay, Ken.
As if he knew, it's in front of him.
Which global superstar has thrown his support behind his native Samoa at the World Cup in an Instagram video?
The Rock.
Oh, look at you.
It's too old. This is one of the better quizzes, Ken. That's for sure.
You're better than Jude at this, that's for sure. Jude better watch himself.
Yeah.
Gus, the A-League women's season kicks off this weekend. Who won the grand final last season?
It's not a sport that I'm absolutely got my head around. I'm going to go with Sydney FC.
No.
Damn it.
Another A-League powerhouse, Melbourne Victory.
Yeah. Oh, the big V.
All right, Ken, you can secure the win here if you get this question right. Oh, you've got it. You've got Wendell here anyway, but let's see how you go.
Go without Wendell.
Yeah.
Okay. The 2022 AFL Brownlow medal count has been in the news this week with arrests made around suspicious betting activity. But who won the 2022 Brownlow medal?
I'm not a big AFL fan.
Well, come to me, brother.
I'll go Wendell.
Oh, everyone knows this. Patrick Cripps.
Very good.
The Carlton player. Thanks a lot, Ken. You have won the $100 DoorDash voucher, mate. Congratulations.
Thank you all. Thank you.
Well done, mate. Thanks for your support, brother, and I hope you have a fantastic weekend. Coming up next, we are talking FIFA World Cup. Richard Bayliss from SBS. No one knows more about the round ball game than him. We're going to talk to him about the Socceroos and about that first clash and a little bit of no alcohol around the grounds, apparently.
Yes.
It's just come out. The Royal Family has said you can't have grog. 48 hours out.
Oh.
Welcome back to the Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Wendell. Jude back on Monday. Candice Warner is with us. And on 3 a.m. Monday morning, the World Cup football, FIFA. And it's all happening in Qatar. What a song. Let's dance. Yeah, let's go for it. And for the latest, the man that knows so much about the round ball game, Richard Bayliss from SBS, he joins us. G'day, Rich. How are you, mate?
Hey, Gus. Hey, guys. Nice to be on, as always.
Mate, fantastic. Let's talk about Qatar versus Ecuador. That's going to be the first match, 3 a.m. early Monday morning, and that's just going to be a start of a festival of footy.
It will indeed. It's nice to get this one out of the way as well, Gus, because I reckon on paper it's one of the least interesting games of the group stage. So, yeah, the hosts, they always kick off the tournament, have done since 2006, and Asian champions as well, Qatar. So, you know, you can't write them off, but you would think there'll be more interesting games. 3 a.m. Monday morning, and from that point on, from Monday night, it'll be an absolute feast, like you say, three or four games every night from then on out.
Look, there's a lot going on around Cristiano Ronaldo at the moment, a lot of controversy. How much do you think that's going to distract his team, Portugal, in Group H?
A fair bit, I'd reckon, Candice, because he's a distraction both in clubland and also for the Portuguese national team. For one of the greatest players of all time, you know, it's remarkable the impact he has on the actual football teams he plays in, because he doesn't have the same level of physical output that he once did, and teams have to adjust. So Portugal won the Euros in 2016. They have got an unbelievable squad on paper. It is mind-blowing how good it is, but nobody really takes them that seriously because they have to accommodate for Ronaldo. So he'd probably still pop up with 3 or 4 goals in this tournament, but whether or not they can win it because of him, not too sure. And as you mentioned, those off-field distractions, the interview with Piers Morgan, I mean, every day another line comes out from it. You just wonder who on earth is advising him, and you reckon with him and his teammates it might be a little bit frosty, both at Manchester United and Portugal as well.
Yeah, we have the regulars there, Argentina and Brazil, you know, talking about going to the final. But what about England for me? Like, I like when England fail. Are they a chance? Because they've got a good squad. But are they a chance or not?
Yeah, well, you would have liked the semi-final on the weekend then, Del, I assume.
I
don't know. I think it feels like, you know, they made the semis last time. They made the final of the Euros. But since then, the expectations, weirdly, are really low. Going into a tournament in England, normally they're just talking up their chances. They haven't won it since 66. And, you know, with Gareth Southgate, great guy, whether or not he's the man to inspire them and the nation, I don't think so. I think they've had their chance. They've got some amazing young players, and they could push as far through to the maybe the quarters or the semis. I kind of feel like their day's done, and I reckon you'll be happy coming into the tournament, Del.
And it looks like the Qatari royal family are really putting the pressure on FIFA to get a complete alcohol ban at all the World Cup stadiums.
That's outrageous. It's at this late hour?
That's crazy.
You'd be filthy, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's outrageous considering that particular sponsor, the beer provider to the World Cup, has been around for a while, and you can only imagine how much money they throw into it. Yeah, I see the FIFA delegates rocked up overnight in there. Hotel wasn't ready either, so whether that's a bit of pressure to, we'll get your hotel rooms ready if you allow us to not sell beers, I don't know. It's been spoken about for so long, hasn't it? The uniqueness, if you like, of this tournament and not being able to drink alcohol. You know, that's what happens in the Premier League as well. You can't drink alcohol within sight of the football. I'm led to believe it'll be like that, but whether or not beers are easy to come by kind of remains to be seen. Everybody there at the moment's finding beers easy enough, but once the crowds arrive, that'll be the true test.
So did you say in the English Premier League, there's no beer inside the stadiums?
So it's inside the stadium, the concourse around the outside, but you can't have it in your seat.
Can't go back to your seat.
I didn't know that.
It's a weird one. We've got it much better over here. Let's talk about Group D, Australia versus France, Australia, Tunisia, then Denmark. But our first game, Tuesday the 23rd, 6 a.m, big fella. France, a tough, tough battle for us Aussies to try to get a point. That would be the best we could possibly ask for, right?
Yeah, the good thing about this, though, Gus, is that it's pretty much a free swing because nobody will expect anything from us. And the other thing is, like, 5 or 6 good players are out for France. Kante, Pogba, Kimpembe, Benzema, who's the Ballon d'Or winner from a few weeks back. He's a huge doubt. So, you know, we're long, long odds regardless of who plays for France. But because there are no expectations on us, we go in. We know a point, a draw would be a huge result and it sets us up. But if we lose it, you know, we've got bigger fish to fry. Tunisia and Denmark are the games we need to get something from. So never say never, but we know it's a big challenge.
Rich, fantastic. Cannot wait to talk to you next week if we possibly can. Of course, watch you on all your stuff on SBS. You're an absolute champion. Thanks for your time.
Good on you guys. All the best.
Richard Bayless here.
The Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Wendell. Weekdays from 4 on Triple M.